Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good morning. What's going on, everybody? Welcome into First Take. Hi, Kendrick Perkins.
You feeling good
today? Still in Boston? Just getting all those good, positive vibes. Your boys tying things up. Stephen A. making the trek back. And JJ, 2 days in a row.
I'm here. Kendrick Perkins, little advice before the show begins. Stop looking down at your damn television screen and look straight at us. We see you. You don't have to see us all the time. We see you. Don't look down.
Hold on.
Look straight.
Perk, just ignore him. Excuse me, are you running a master class on how people should dress, how they should act on TV? What's happening here?
I just got off the plane, you know, so I have excuses.
Okay,
you know, I have excuses. You know, is that a turtleneck you wearing about 70-degree weather? I'm just wondering.
No, it's not. It's just...
It just messes with the
dark chocolate. You just can't see it.
I feel you on that. I feel you on that. Let's go. Mr. Chocolate.
How many times are you going to tell me to let's go? It almost makes me not want to start the show because you're telling me what to do. Let's go. Celtics came hot out of the gate. The urgency was there. Opened the game with an 18-1 run. The C's held Miami starters a 7-for-36 shooting and cruised to a 102-82 Game 4 win to even the series. It led wire to wire 2 days after Miami had done the same in a Game 3 triumph. Coach Udoka knew what was at stake.
To understand what's on the table, this is a 3-game series now, and you know, can't always just flip the mindset when we come off a loss and get a little desperate. And the guys talked about that in the locker room now. We've obviously been here before to string some games together and come out with the right mindset like we did tonight. Obviously, it was apparent the difference. We understand we don't want to go down 3-1, and so guys came out with that physicality.
Obviously, some injuries, Stephen A., but tell me this. What message did the Celtics send with that blowout?
Well, to me, they sent the message that they're the team to beat within the Eastern Conference, that the Miami Heat don't have enough. Mm-hmm. They've got to be fully loaded, 100% healthy to have a chance in this series. I still see this going 7 games. I think that the Boston Celtics ultimately escape with this series in a 7th game win in Miami. I think both teams will protect their home court over the next 2 games. But Miami doesn't appear to have enough. And ladies and gentlemen, let me say this. Miami is the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. Their culture, their coach, their executive of basketball operations, Pat Riley, the winner within himself. This is a first-class organization from top to bottom. Last night, their starters put forth one of the most pathetic performances we've ever seen. Ladies and gentlemen, the starting five for the Miami Heat scored 18 points. I need people to understand the magnitude of what I just said. The starting five of a number one seed in the Eastern Conference in the Eastern Conference Finals combined for 18 points. That's just pathetic. Victor Oladipo, your 7th man, coming off the bench to score more than the entire starting five is one of the most pathetic displays of offensive basketball we may have ever seen. That's no excuse for it. Obviously, that's not going to happen again because that's an all-time low. That's an all-time low light. Okay, not a highlight, a low light. But in the end, what it comes down to is that it crystallizes this. That's clearly an aberration. It's not going to happen again to Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, Kyle Lowry and these boys, PJ Tucker and them. It's not going to happen again. But in the end, it says a lot about what they're lacking overall. And I think that, to me, when you ask the question about what do we learn from the Celtics with this blowout win, is that the Celtics have a lot more firepower than the Miami Heat. All things need to be operating on a good cylinder in order for the Miami Heat to win this series. That's what I took.
Talk to me.
See, that's the thing that gets on when I come on here that makes my skin crawl when it comes down to Stephen A. The reason that the starters only had 18 points was because of the beautiful basketball on the defensive end that the Celtics displayed. And I come on here time and time again telling you the length, the athleticism, the versatility that they have. No other team in the NBA has that. They able to switch 1 through 5. They got great depth. You got great Grant Williams coming in off the bench who's becoming the ultimate 3-and-D guy. And guess what? They clamped the Miami Heat up last night without their defensive player of the year. Think about this for a second. And I told JJ this early this morning. The Boston Celtics shot 39% from the field, 23% from three, and 1 by 20. Jaylen Brown was 5 for 20 from the field, and they 1 by 20. You know why? Because Ime Udoka, who is a former champion, knows that in order to win a championship, you have to be great on the defensive side of things. Offense can win you games, but the defense is going to win you championships. And again, I repeat, the Boston Celtics have a championship caliber defense, and that's what happened to the Miami Heat last night. And that's the message that they sent not only to the Heat, but the rest of the league, including the Golden State Warriors.
Perk, I think this is a good start of the show for you and I, because we just spent the last 2 hours arguing with each other on Get Up. So I'm glad that I can agree with you on this point. The biggest takeaway for me is that the Boston Celtics can win with their defense. They don't need to play great offensively to beat an elite team. They shot under 40% from the field. They struggled from the three-point line. The biggest difference offensively, if we're going to be honest, between Game 3 and Game 4 was the turnovers. They cut them down by basically two-thirds. So that was key. To your point about depth, I think we got a great glimpse into who Robert Williams is on the basketball court, both on the defensive end as a rebounder, as a shot blocker, as a rim presence, but also offensively. Multiple plays where he's making plays at the rim as a vertical lob threat, offensive rebound putbacks. And if we look at the Celtics as a potential NBA champion, going against the Golden State Warriors, the Warriors right now have the best offensive rating of any team left in the playoffs. During the playoffs, they were 18th in the regular season, but during the playoffs, they are the best offensive team left playing. They are going to have to guard. They are going to have to guard the Golden State Warriors in order to win an NBA championship. And nights like last night show just how capable that defense is.
You know, it's interesting that you both agree. I'm so touched by it. I mean, the fact that J.J. Redick and Kendrick Perkins, I mean, agree with one another. I mean, it just touches my good old heart. Okay, let me get that out the way first, because it's important for the audience to know, my God, we should be so touched that y'all agree with one another. Let me ask you this question, Kendrick Perkins. The Celtics have had an elite defense pretty much since the new year has arrived, correct?
Mm-hmm.
They've been one of the top, if not the top defense in the postseason, correct?
Yes.
We've seen the Pistons have a great defense. We've seen the New York Knicks, the rugged New York Knicks when they were relevant in the 90s have an elite defense. We've seen the Chicago Bulls amp it up and had an elite defense. Tell me when's the last time you saw a starting five register 18 points. A starting five, 18 points. When?
It's actually never happened. That's the fewest points ever for a starting five since we started tracking this in
1970. Yes, 1970. Exactly. See, yeah. I knew that, J.J. Hey, Redick. I asked a rhetorical question.
I asked a rhetorical question.
Yeah. Why did I ask that question? Because Kendrick Perkins wants to sit here and talk about their defense. Of course their defense is elite. We knew that coming into the postseason. It doesn't negate the fact that they lost two games prior to game four. And at no time since 1970, Kevin Kendrick Perkins, in case you don't know, that's 52 years, my brother. I know you're young. The bottom line is 52 years. In 52 years since the stat was given out, no starting five has ever scored less. 18 points for all five starters combined? There's no excuse for that. You can point to the Boston Celtics defense all you want to, and I know their defense is big time. But that speaks to the anemic play of the Miami Heat more than this.
I have a question, Kendrick. How much did they miss Tyler Hero?
No, actually, Boston missed Tyler Hero, because when Tyler Hero was playing, he was with Boston. He was with us. That's what we used to scream when another opponent was playing like trash. He with us. Listen,
actually, they still scream that. They still scream that today to some people. You know that.
Yeah, I know. I know. But here's the thing. Molly, JJ, and Stephen A., here's the thing I want, a little detailed thing that I want to point out to you guys.
Okay.
Robert Williams returning last night allowed Al Horford to get up into Bam out of the bayou. It allowed him to take away his comfort zone. It allowed him to pressure up on him. You know why? Because for the simple fact that if he got by Big Al, if he was capable of doing it, he knew that the Time Lord, Robert Williams, was somewhere back there lurking. Robert Williams allowed Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and Grant Williams to pressure up on Jimmy Butler and Kyle Lowry, run them off the three-point line, and now they're looking over their shoulder wondering where this guy that's jumping off a pogo stick is coming out of nowhere. And so, Stephen A., when I understand that, but look, P.J. Tucker had 17 points in game three. They made an emphasis to close out on him at the three-point line, make him a driver, and when he was driving to the paint, you had Robert Williams jumping above the rim and altering his floaters and everything else where he couldn't even see the basket. This is what I'm telling you about elite defense. These are the little things that matter that show up and have an effect when you have a guy like Robert Williams return to a lineup that already have great depth at the wing and power forward position defensively.
Okay.
To that point, I just want to say, you know, potentially one adjustment for the Miami Heat. Robert Williams started on P.J. Tucker, guarded him a lot of the game as his primary defender. If he's going to roam, you've got to be able to set up plays, sets, environments where you can get Robert Williams in the paint and then kick it out to P.J. Tucker for three. He only took four shots last night. I know he didn't play his normal amount of minutes, but that's something that you can take advantage of. Similar to what the Dallas Mavericks did in the first round against the Utah Jazz with Rudy Gobert. If your rim protector is going to guard a three-point shooter, a corner three-point shooter, like the Jazz did with Gobert on Maxi Kleber, you've got to figure out a way to take advantage of that.
See, and that's why the NBA should be ashamed of themselves and everybody who voted for Rudy Gobert during the Defensive Player of the Year award, because Robert Williams is 10 times better than Rudy when it comes to guarding the perimeter.
And it's that's not what about who's trying to, better. Who's better all the time. It's about who performs. There's plenty of times where we've seen the best player not win league MVP, for example, because the best player didn't win it because that particular season, based on the system that they were playing in and their value to that particular team, that particular year, that's why they win awards. So that's not to knock. There's no reason to knock Rudy Gobert. In the postseason, they pull him out, force him to defend on the perimeter. They don't do that against him during the regular season.
No, but this is what I'm trying to tell you. If you would have let me finish my sentence before you interrupted me, I'm trying to explain to you is that the difference between Robert Williams and Rudy Gobert is that Robert Williams could actually go out there and slide his puppies, Stephen A. And this is why I tell you we getting fooled by the analytics and the eye test. The eye test shows me that Robert Williams could go out there and slide his feet with a P.J. Tucker or a Jimmy Butler for 5 or 6 seconds where he's able enough to contain them and not let them get a three-point shot off or not let them get a shot off, period.
Well, what that would mean is that they're getting fooled by the analytics, not the analytics and the eye test, because you just use the eye test to make your point, right, not the analytics.
That upset JJ. He loves analytics more than any former player I know.
This is a whole conversation that Perk and I need to hash out, but we need like a whole hour to do it.
About what? Analytics? About
bring him on your podcast or go and hit.
Wait, hold on. Perk, I'm trying to
understand. It's very rare that the analytics don't match the eye test. It's very rare. I wouldn't say that.
No.
Well, when he's talking about Rudy Gobert, when he's talking about Rudy Gobert, Rudy Gobert is an elite defender. He guards the whole court. That's his job. He guards the whole court, and they don't have good perimeter defenders. So he's got to do all that, and the strategy against that, because he's got to protect the rim because their defense is getting broken down.
Okay, hold on. I just have one question.
Two different things, Park.
JJ, before we carry on here.
Yes.
carry on.
Yeah, before we carry on. I know that was good. It was good. They got Perk real good. Mm-hmm. Just tell me this. I'm curious. How did you get so into analytics, being a former player? Because usually former players aren't into the numbers as much. I'm just curious.
Curiosity. That's all it is.
Okay.
First time I got introduced to analytics was with Stan Van Gundy. My first meeting with him my second year. I'd never heard any of this stuff before. And he breaks down our very first meeting. Here's traditionally what a mid-range shot is worth in the NBA. Here's traditionally what a layup is worth. Here's traditionally what a free throw is worth. Here's what a three is worth. Here's what a corner three is worth. Went through the whole thing, right? Then, the further along I got in my career, all this stuff became available. Synergy, Second Spectrum, NBA.com. It's there. And it's just a reference point, Perk. It's a reference point. You need the eyes. You need the eyes. But the analytics tell part of the story.
Hold on, JJ. I'm sitting across. And let me say this to you, JJ Redick. Analytics were in existence a long time ago. Pat Riley was using analytics in the
80s. Oh, I know that. I'm saying this. So I said the first time I got introduced.
There's so many people that act like this analytics is an innovative thing. No, what has happened is that you have people who couldn't play who've made careers off of using analytics.
Oh, we preach.
That's what happened.
We preach.
But analytics has been around for a long time. Now, you're the exception because you could play and you use analytics, where most people who use analytics couldn't play a damn.
Exactly.
And they made a career for themselves at the expense of others by using numbers, a language that owners could embrace and really, really adapt to. And as a result, they got jobs at the expense of people who know basketball. Okay. But that's a different subject for another day as well.
Which is why you also need the eye test.
That's right. Now, you're the exception because you could play and you know analytics.
Let me move on here, but that's why I thought
you know most analytics
because
scrubs.
Of that point.
Right,
being,
I just want to make
being,
one
being
little
a former
point.
Player, that's why
one
I asked
little
you.
Point to him. Yes. Stan Van Gundy, Steve Clifford, both Pat Riley guys.
And I love them both. And
they,
I love them both.
They counted every possession.
Marley, I thought you said let's carry on.
Perk is uncomfortable talking about this. That's the reality.
I'm not okay.
That's okay.
Hey, we ain't got time. JJ, one thing about me, a guy that has played over 150 playoff games, I'm never uncomfortable talking about anything when it comes to basketball.
All right, there but you're just missing your chain. You're a little out of character right now. Right. Now I'm coming back.
No, I like it without the chain. I don't need Mr. T this morning. I need Kendrick Perk. So we good. Let's go. Let's carry on.
No one asked you your opinion. I was giving it mine. JJ, do you believe Miami can win another game?
They can. I don't
do you believe they will.
No, I don't necessarily think they will. So there's some question marks here, and really it comes down to the Celtics' defense being able to stop this version of the Miami offense. And the question marks are Jimmy Butler's health. And I think it's important to note, when you have a lower extremity injury, like a swollen knee, there's not a lot you can do on the court in between games. So you're looking at basically 48 hours of doing nothing, then trying to go out and play. You're resting, you're doing ice, you're doing manual therapy, but you're not on a basketball court shooting a basketball. So his ability, his sharpness offensively, that's a question mark for me. Tyler Hero, although he has struggled, he still is a shot creator. You need shot creators. Right. And outside of Tyler Hero, the only guy I saw last night was Victor Oladipo. My third question mark is, can Bam just put together two straight aggressive performances?
No.
I'm not saying he has to have a game three performance every night. But to come out after that game three and be so passive, we've seen this over and over. He's such a talented player.
He is.
He doesn't use his size and skill set night to night, and I get frustrated by that.
Okay. Well, first of all, we appreciate that lengthy explanation when the producers told you we were running out of time. But way to go, JJ, because you take over. This is what you do now. That's fine. I'm good with that, okay? Yeah. It's all right, though. I love you, bro. I love you. Here's the simple answer to this, JJ Redick. Miami's winning game five. Because they can't afford to, because they ain't winning game six back in Boston. That's not happening. I got my reservations made already, okay? We ain't interrupting my reservations. They gonna win game five Thursday, all right? Oh, it's Wednesday, I'm sorry. Yeah. They gonna lose game six back in Boston, and they gonna go back to Miami for Sunday for game seven. The series is going seven games. The reservations have already been made. Regardless of everything that you just so astutely pointed out, there's one thing you missed. You said it, but you missed it. Bam Adebayo can't put consistent performances together. Well, guess what? He didn't show up last night after showing up in game three. That means he'll show up in game five. Okay? Then he won't show up in game six. And then we'll see what he does in game seven. Miami's winning Friday, game five, Wednesday night.
No, they're not. I got Boston winning in six, and here's why. Jason Tatum is not going to have a bounce-back game. He's going to have a follow-up game. I think he's going to be spectacular in game five, and I just don't think that he could score in the half court, and the Boston Celtics defense is too great. And again, they lost this game four without their defensive player of the year who could possibly be back in game five and Marcus Smart along with Robert Williams. I see the Celtics taking this home in six.
I feel you on that. I just think we'd be remiss in neglecting to remind people that, according to Kendrick Perkins, Boston wasn't even going to be here. He picked him to win the final.
God.
And then after that, he said Giannis was going to take him out. He said Giannis was going to take him out. That's what he said. He said they weren't going to be here. You should have saw him last night. Did y'all see him? Did y'all see Big Perk strutting around TD Bank Garden yesterday? He was walking around like somebody that picked him to win it all, but conveniently left to the Boston fans.
I was walking around like a champion. That's what he was walking around.
No, that's exactly
I got news for you. You said another mishap. It wasn't grammatical error, but it was a mishap. You said former champions. There are no former champions. You're either a champion or you're not. You're a champion, my brother. You ain't a former champion. Yeah. You're a champion.
Yeah.
You'll always be an NBA champion. That's why winning the chip is so important. So you added the word former. That was a misnomer on your part. You can apologize to the public later. Kerry.
I ain't apologizing.
Do you want to do transitions? Do you want to tee up the next topic? What else?
What's the next topic?
What don't you do at ESPN, Stephen A? Because you wear you get a timeout from us because we're transitioning to baseball. Stephen A will tell the audience shortly. You too, Perk, but sit tight, Phil.
Carry
the hell. Is it okay if I move on to baseball? Are we still good with that? Cool. All right. Major League Baseball has suspended the Yankees' Josh Donaldson for one game. The suspension and undisclosed fine stems from Donaldson's Jackie remarks to Tim Anderson of the White Sox during Saturday's game, which led to a benches-clearing brawl. Donaldson will be eligible to play pending the results of his appeal. Here's what Michael Hill, MLB Senior Vice President for On-Field Operations, said in a statement. There's no dispute over what was said on the field, regardless of Mr. Donaldson's intent. The comment he directed towards Mr. Anderson was disrespectful and in poor judgment, particularly when he viewed in the context of their prior interactions. In addition, Mr. Donaldson's remark was a contributing factor in a bench-clearing incident between the teams and warrants discipline. Here's Yankees manager Aaron Boone.
I think they were thoughtful and looked into it and did their due diligence on it and made what was a tough call. I don't agree with it. I don't think it warranted a suspension, but I certainly respect their process. JD's planning on appealing it.
The one and only Doug Glanville joining us now. Doug, thank you so much. Grateful to have your perspective this morning. Tell me this, sir. Do you believe MLB got it right with the one-game suspension?
I'd say they got it right politically, and it's because they had to thread a needle. They believed they had to thread a needle because if you go very long into 2 weeks in these categories, then you talk about it being punitive and being an issue about, like, what are the politics behind it. Then if you don't do anything, then you show an insensitivity. And I wish they would have taken the time, because they didn't get into the details about what made it inappropriate, what was actually the issue. And because that actually allows you to learn from the nuances around what were the racial undertones, what were the questions around the motivation. That's where they could go and turn it into a teachable moment. So they had to respond in some way to recognize that there's a lot more context that Tim Anderson was tapping into and feeling about it, where he did not give him license to be able to call him whatever he wanted. So I think Major League Baseball is in this position, which I think I hope that they'll seize to be able to escalate it to a place where we can all understand the nuances of what goes behind it, because there's a lot more to it than just what happens on the field. A lot of people were affected by that, players or non-players.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you a question before I give you my opinion about this. Are you aware at all of what Tim Anderson had to say in direct response to Josh Donaldson's assertion that it came from the Sports Illustrated article where Tim Anderson called himself the next Jackie Robinson, and that he had been calling Tim Anderson Jackie on several occasions? Are you aware of any response from Tim Anderson directly addressing that assertion by Josh Donaldson?
The only thing I heard from Tim Anderson was his presser after the game, mm-hmm. in talking about why he felt like there's an element of disrespect. Remember, Tony La Russa classified it as a racist comment. He didn't call him a racist. And so, yes, I'm aware of the fact that Tim Anderson had some interaction with Josh Donaldson prior. But to me, there's an element of that that's irrelevant. Mm-hmm. Because that, let's say it was 2019 or whatever he categorizes it as. Okay, that's years ago. And once he's going to pull it from some article and decide he has license to call him what he wants. No, you need to be invited into what you can call me. I get to decide what you get to call me. If I get a PhD tomorrow and I come on this show and I decide you need to call me Dr. Glanville, then you call me Dr. Glanville.
Okay.
That's what happens.
I love the way
you said that. You don't have the right. And by the way, Josh
Donaldson, I want to get in here, Doug. I want to get in here, but go ahead.
But Josh Donaldson said, by the way, oh, I don't know what changed. Well, you know what changed? George Floyd changed. Ahmaud Arbery changed. A whole lot of things changed where you have the right to decide that later you can decide to say you can call me X, and that's my decision. It's not up to Josh Donaldson or anybody to decide what to call you.
You need to be invited. I just wanted to highlight that one point because I haven't heard anyone say that. You need to be invited to what you can call me.
Okay.
That's so well put.
You are right
Absolutely.
About that.
Absolutely. And they're not friends.
It's a two-way conversation, my brother. Oh. I've let you speak. Let me chime in here.
I feel you.
Because it's important, okay?
Yeah, go for it.
I'm going to respectfully disagree with you on this one. I think this suspension by Major League Baseball was bogus. I think that Josh Donaldson was done wrong on this. And I want to emphasize why, without disagreeing with what you just said in terms of being invited, I totally get that. I totally agree. I'm a black man just like you. Totally agree. We're 100% lockstep on that. I'm talking about this specific relationship with Tim Anderson and Josh Donaldson. Yes, George Floyd happened. That is absolutely true. My point to you is this.
It did.
Tim Anderson knows that. Josh Donaldson knows that. If there was communication between the two and Josh Donaldson comes out and he explains where it emanated from, then if you're Tim Anderson, you need to tell us, excuse me, you found it disrespectful. What about what he said that y'all were talking? Y'all just talked a few months ago. Y'all just talked last season. You talked the season before that. Was it offensive then? Because when you start talking about things moving and things changing, wait a minute here. What if Tim Donaldson, let me ask you, I'm not asking you this. It's a rhetorical question. If Josh Donaldson sat up there and said, you ain't no damn Jackie Robinson, should MLB suspend him off of that? I'd say no. You're the opposition. You win an article calling yourself the next Jackie Robinson. I'm looking you dead in your face as a competitor against you and saying, no, you ain't him. You didn't integrate the sport. You ain't the player that he was, et cetera, et cetera. I'm saying, if I'm Josh Donaldson, we don't know that. Because we don't know that, my issue is that Tim Anderson, and I'm not against him in any way, I'm not even saying that he's wrong about what he's saying. I'm saying when Josh Donaldson explained himself, to me, Tim Anderson has an obligation to address that assertion from Josh Donaldson before Major League Baseball takes a position or before we take a position. What I get tired of from our community is when Josh Donaldson, to use this example, you make an assertion and an allegation, and then we want to grab stuff from an historical perspective and bring everything into the mix without hearing from Tim Anderson directly addressing the assertion that Donaldson made about what their relationship was like. That's why I feel Donaldson is getting screwed over here. The MLB is making a political statement to finally make themselves look right in the eyes of America, because Major League Baseball is always the last to the party. Okay? But Josh Donaldson made an assertion. Where's that response from Tim Anderson? That's what I want to know.
Well, look, I hear you, which is why I said they made the suspension was correct politically. That's why I said that. Now, keep in mind, Josh Donaldson misrepresented what Tim Anderson said in that SI article. He didn't call himself, I am Jackie Robinson. It was aspirational. And on top of that, the fact is, like, what right do you have to say that I'm not connected to Jackie Robinson? Jackie Robinson was the first. I played Major League Baseball, and that's exactly right. I played because he kicked the door down, and I owe something.
I'm here because he kicked the door down.
The legacy. That's right. So I could call myself Jackie Robinson, too, because it's not just about being a ball player. It's about being Ketanji Jackson and every other first out there. So who gets
to decide
that I'm not connected to the
legacy?
You're
missing where I'm going.
Yeah, I agree. But I agree with you that Tim Anderson can clarify about what their dynamic was. But you know what? He has the right to change his mind, like I said, because I just outlined the reasons why.
Listen to what I'm saying.
Stuff might have changed.
Listen to what I asked you.
I said to you,
if Josh Donaldson said to him, instead of Jackie, if he said to him, you ain't no Jackie Robinson, would that be a suspendable offense?
I don't think Major League Baseball would have done something if he said, I don't see you as Jackie Robinson, because he's saying that Jackie Robinson was so significant in 1947. That's not what he said.
He's acting like he's friends and teammates.
He said, what's up, Jackie? He conceded that point.
Right.
So wait a minute. Like, you're not my teammate. You're not giving me nicknames. I don't go up to some opponent and read some article from 3 years ago and decide that that gives me license to call you whatever I want.
The point is, Josh Donaldson is out there, right? We may not like what he said. Yeah. We might adapt a level of connotation to it that makes us feel uncomfortable.
Right.
What I'm saying is, based on the information that we have available to us, you trying to tell me it's a suspendable offense for him to mock the guy about Jackie Robinson because you were talking about you might be the next Jackie Robinson?
Let me get clarification here, Doug. Doug, let me just say one thing. From your vantage point, is this is what you're getting from the situation, is that he was calling him Jackie and essentially mocking him for being a minority in a sport that's, you know, predominantly Latin and white, and that he's one of the black players, and that's why he's calling him Jackie?
No, I'm saying that the mockery comes from the fact that Tim Anderson made a connection to Jackie Robinson's legacy. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And by the way, Tim Anderson is a heck of a ball player.
You want to look
at the list of the top four batting averages in Major League Baseball? His name is at the top. So forget it. But he doesn't have to be a great ball player to connect to the legacy and be thankful for the legacy of Jackie Robinson. So look, I agree, Stephen A., that I'm not saying Josh Donaldson should be hung in effigy, okay? I think I'm saying Major League Baseball said politically made the decision to suspend him, but they are missing the opportunity to educate, because they won't.
Well,
they
didn't
touch the racial connotations. They didn't touch that in their statement. So that's the opportunity. I'd love to hear from Josh Donaldson, and I think he didn't realize the depth and the layers of what it means in the black experience when people like to take your name. Because I was called Eddie Murphy and Chris Rock and everything under the sun because they wanted to make me more palatable. People who were not comfortable wanted to make me and you more palatable. Just like if you complete a sentence, you're all of a sudden Barack Obama. So you know what? Yes, you get to decide what people call you. And that's okay, Josh Donaldson. Maybe you made a mistake, and maybe we need to learn from it. Major League Baseball has an opportunity to make it a teachable moment.
We agree there. I just don't think that the way to go about it was suspending the guy, because you alienate a populace, because now you're punishing him instead of teaching him. So ultimately, you're going to keep quiet, but you harbor an elevated level of animosity. And over what? For something like this? I'm saying, when we think about racism and how poignant that is in our society and how prevalent it is still in our society, we find ourselves sitting here where Tim Anderson is clearly an intelligent brother, highly accomplished, a good brother from everybody that I've talked to about him, the whole bit. Josh Donaldson made an accusation. All right, address that. Was he telling the truth? Because if Major League Baseball just slides up in there just to make themselves look good and politically up to date, finally, instead of being last at the party like they always are, and we're supposed to be satisfied because you suspended this dude for a game, now Josh Donaldson is being tainted as a racist. And I'm saying, over this, at some point in time, as black people, we got to be mindful of the fact that if you're going to use that, it better count.
It can't be for something as foggy as this, where ultimately people get tone deaf to what really, really resonates with us as a people. Stuff like this is petty, and Major League Baseball has bought into it. And Tim Anderson, to me, I'm not knocking a brother at all. I'm not questioning the veracity of his statement or anything. I'm simply saying Josh Donaldson came out in front of the media, no prepared conference, no prepared press conference, no prepared script, no tweet, no nothing, and said, this is the history. Tim Anderson, I would like to hear from this brother as it pertains to that direct explanation Donaldson gave before Donaldson is suspended. Because outside of that, it looks like he's got suspended virtually over nothing.
But I think what Doug's saying is Tim Anderson doesn't have to explain why he doesn't want to be called a certain name. And then also with MLB, where potentially they dropped the balls. In the statement, they referred to it as disrespectful and poor judgment. But they didn't elaborate on the racial
component. But Donaldson said they have a relationship.
That was a myth moment.
Spanning years.
Yes, but
this has been going on.
What Doug's saying is, regardless of the relationship, if you're no longer comfortable with that, and we saw what's happened in the country as well, if he's no longer.
But he said he didn't know. Donaldson said, he said, if something's changed in our, his exact words, if something's changed in our relationship, I didn't know. Tim Anderson has to address that.
Well, Stephen, I hear you on the fact that you need to pick your battles. I understand that. But we also have to recognize there's a whole lot of people that are disingenuous about racism as a whole. Like the fact that, oh, well, it's convenient when, okay, it has to be these perfect conditions to say it's racist, but at the same time, they never concede anything's racist. So, you know, you can't have it always. And yes,
I agree with that.
I don't think you should throw that around recklessly, and which is why I think we need to take a step back, listen to all parties involved, and realize that this affected not just the ball players, but everybody and the fans and the support, and we need to take a chance to learn from this.
Which is
and
why
I give
I
Josh Donaldson and Tim Anderson the floor to do
that's
that.
Right. Yeah. Which is why I asked the question, if Josh Donaldson has said, you ain't no Jackie Robinson, would that be a suspendable offense? That's why I asked that question.
Mm-hmm. I hear you. It's a good question.
Yeah. And we're starting the conversation here, so I appreciate that, Doug, and, of course, your time and your perspective. Thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Thank you, man.
We'll talk to you soon.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Earn unlimited 2X miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business.
And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever.
BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
It's no secret the Patriots had a major loss. No, I'm not talking about Tom Brady. Their Super Bowl winning OC, Josh McDaniels, who is now in Vegas with Derek Carr and Devontae Adams. We know Bill Belichick is a defensive-minded genius, but he's keeping it close to the vest. As for who will call the plays and take over at OC, the Pats steamrolled through the AFC East for almost 2 decades. But now it's a new deal with the Buffalo Bills locked and loaded in Miami, significantly improving. Bill B is at the mic.
Well, what plays are we calling? Mini camp plays?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to coach the team, coach the players. We're going to get them ready to go. We're going to game plan. We have to game plan. We'll play call. Do all the things that we need to do and compete in games. Right now, we're months away from that. When we get to it, we'll get to it.
No cutoff hoodie. There he is, the man of the hour. My guy. Hi, Swaggo. How we doing?
My brother.
What's up, Molly Q? What's happening? What's up, big bro?
What's up, bro?
You know, it's just another day in the office, Marcus. You know how it is. Let's talk some football, shall we? Tell me this. Are the Pats in danger of falling to the bottom of the AFC East after dominating it for so long?
Yeah. Yeah, you don't have to finish. Yes. Yes, they are. They're in danger. They're in danger because of, one, the other three teams are becoming more talented. That's number one, and it starts there. All right, but because people forget that Bill Belichick, taking nothing away from him, great coach, great, great guy, put guys in position to have success. Bill Belichick had a bunch of Hall of Famers throughout his tenure with the New England Patriots, or a bunch of elite, all-pro, Pro Bowl-level players. We get caught up in Tom Brady, but we forget the dominant defenses that he had, personnel-wise. I'm talking about that. I'm not here to say that Bill Belichick is not the greatest coach in the NFL, in NFL history. Very well, maybe. Some people dispute that. I don't. I think the championships and what he was able to do by putting those pieces in order to have success makes him the greatest coach in the NFL. But when you start, see, we got to stop thinking of, like history got to stop reverberating. This is not the same New England Patriots team. This is not the same team. They have a second-year quarterback. They're trying to figure out outside who their weapons would be so they can be an explosive offense. And more importantly, they don't know who the hell their offensive coordinator is going to be. Now, I get it, and we can throw and dump on the Jets. The Jets have done phenomenal things from a personnel standpoint. Do they have to put it together? Absolutely. Miami, talent, more talented. They have more talented roster than the New England Patriots right now. And we don't even need to talk about the Buffalo Bills. So are they in danger of being the last place team? Yes, because of talent on these rosters. But I have pause like everyone else because Bill Belichick is the head coach. But coaches can't overcome if you don't have the talent to execute the plan that you put in place. And that is my concern with the New England Patriots going into this particular season. Don't mean it to be that way going forward, but if I told Stephen A., Joe Judge, and Matt Patricia may be your play callers, you would tell me that don't set up well for your team to play good football.
Something is wrong with you, bro. Something is absolutely positively wrong.
But let's talk about it.
I gotta seriously say to you that if it wasn't for Adam Gase, I think you sound high. I mean, you got to be kidding me. The New York Jets are in this division, and you talk about the Patriots have to worry about being in last place in the AFC. The New York Jets, okay? I mean, they regressed to a point where Fireman Ed said, you know what, let me retire from putting out fires. Because that's how bad bad the New York Jets are, okay? Don't get me started with him, all right? I mean, my boy Jeff in California, I mean, he walking around. I mean, he damn near ready to hide his Jets jersey. The New York Jets? You mean Zach Wilson, the quarterback, had 9 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, didn't even throw for 3,000 yards? You mean the New York Jets with Coach Robert Saleh? Did I pronounce his name right? I think it's Saleh. I'm not making fun of it.
Saleh.
Trying to make sure. Robert Saleh, right? Listen, this brother was a big-time defensive coordinator in San Francisco. We know this. He got the job to the New York Jets. They ranked dead last in points allowed, dead last in yards allowed, bottom 3 against the pass and the damn rush. And defense is your signature. I know it was his rookie year, but damn it, I mean, come on now. Don't get me started with them offensively. I see they got some weapons. I know they could play Mims and the crew. They could play Corey Davis and them. I get all of that. But the point is, at the end of the day, the New England Patriots got to worry about being in last place when the last time the New York Jets were relevant from a championship perspective was when Broadway Joe was their quarterback walking around in tight shorts in 1969. You know, are you kidding me? I know Bill Parcells got him a couple AFC championship games. Rex Ryan did as well. But the bottom line is the New England Patriots don't have nothing to worry about last place. That's reserved for the New York Jets.
All right.
You need to stop that.
Yeah. And you would have had it, and you would have had it reserved for the Cincinnati Bengals a year ago. You would have.
No.
So let's not get.
I wasn't high on the Cleveland Browns. You're talking to me. I got receipts.
You had Cincinnati better than
I had everybody finishing ahead of the Browns because of Baker Mayfield. Yes, I did.
First of all, you were the only one. Congratulations. Number one.
I am special.
People, I am talent. Special. Talent matters. You know that as well as anybody. First and foremost, I'm not saying the New England Patriots are going to finish fourth. The question is, could they fall to the bottom? Absolutely, they could. When you look at this division, Miami just brought in Tyreek Hill. We don't know how Tua is going to play. There's a lot of unknowns in this division. Stephen A., I'm not giving credence in saying that the New England Patriots are going to be fourth, but when When I look at the roster right now sitting here in May, you can't definitively tell me that New England has a better roster than any 3 of the other teams in this division.
What I can tell you, ain't no way in hell they finishing worse than the Jets. I ain't even think about that.
Okay.
I don't even have to think about it. Ain't they finished worse than the Jets.
All right.
Ain't no Bill Parcells team finishing worse than the New York Jets. Not this New York Jets.
Bill Belichick team finishing worse than the New York Jets. And I hear you. And I understand why your reaction is like this, like most of America, because you've grown accustomed to the New England Patriots being in a seat in this division, 1, or like last year, finishing 2nd to the Buffalo Bills. I 100% understand where you're coming from. I'm telling you, sitting here in May, that right now, when I look at the New England Patriots, they have more questions than answers. Right now, than any other team in this division. The New York Jets don't have any expectation other than drafting really good players, hopefully being able to put it together. They got an offensive coordinator that's well-respected throughout this league. Robert Saleh is respected throughout this league as a defensive guy.
As a defensive coordinator,
And their personnel has been elevated. S.A., that's the only point I'm making. I can see it where the Patriots end up looking at this season and saying to themselves, damn, we're fighting to finish this division as the fourth or the third best team.
Now, Marcus, I know my sports. You know, I've been a reporter for decades, right? Let me show you how bad it is for the New York Jets. So I'm at the game the other day. And a member of the New York Jets is at the game. Mm-hmm. And got the nerve to roll up to me. First dumb question he asked, you know who I am? Of course I didn't. I had no clue. I had no clue. I won't tell you who he is. I had no clue.
Stop, man.
That number one. I ain't gonna say his name, but I didn't know who the hell he was. And then he sat up there, even his boy started laughing because he asked me, you know we gonna be serious this year, right? I started laughing in his face. I'm like, really? Really? You got the nerve to be up here talking something like that to me? The New York Jets gonna be real? Please. When I when I see it, I'll believe it. And by the way, I'm not
rooting against them. Well, that's every damn body. That's everybody.
I'm not rooting against them. But you would think you'd have the decency to just go on your merry way and be quiet until you got on the field and showed us wrong. Because before the games are played, we get to defer to history. And history says the Jets are trash.
No, but
okay, that's what it says.
Obviously, they've got a new coach. They've drafted well. The team's got better. But there's the big question for me, Marcus, is at the quarterback position. You know,
Molly, really everybody, big question is at the quarterback spot.
I'm just saying specifically in that division, but
I'm so disgusted with the inefficiencies and the ineptitude of the New York Jets. I'm starting to hate their uniforms just because. I mean, I'm just finding reasons not to like them. Because damn, they don't give me a reason to like something on the field. What? I'm just coming up with stuff, Marcus. Because that's how disgusted
Why don't you worry about your own team, Cowboys fans? You're busy enough. You don't need to worry about other teams.
The Jets are young. The Jets is a big unknown.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that this team is going to be better than they were last year. I just pay attention to what they start doing.
Listen, to the young fellas on the New York Jets, I ain't talking about you. It ain't your fault. You were pups. You weren't there. Okay. I ain't talking about you. But people who have been in a Jets uniform, you're trash.
Whoa. Well, that's what we're talking about.
And you need to get better. I mean, they're horrible.
That's what we're talking
horrible.
About. We're talking about the new guy.
Horrible.
Tuesday. By the way, Josh McDaniels.
Oh, so
McDaniels,
now we're doing Saturday Night Live
Josh
now? That's what we're doing?
Josh McDaniels and doing? Bill Belichick coached 253 games together. Thank you, Dan Orlovsky, for that. So that is a huge loss.
Marcus laughing because he know I'm telling the truth. He was down there in Louisiana years ago and knew the Jets were trash.
You're like it's
always the truth
today.
Until it changes.
Yeah. Always. They got a good media relations department. They got a good media relations department.
Are you really talking about the media
relations
department?
They got a media relations department.
Roll commercial.
The media relations department is very good.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today. The number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again. By visiting lectricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.